As you know, we're starting a new series, Everyday God, and trying to hit specific areas where we know the God of history and the scriptures, but where is God on an everyday basis? And today I'm going to share how God spoke to me, and of all places, at the movies. And next week is going to be on relationships, so it should be very fascinating. Our scripture, one of the favorites of mine, and especially from the Living Bible paraphrase, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And the Living Bible makes this so very plain to us and so powerful. Just the very first verse ought to just blow your mind. Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist as a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to identify it. Later on, the one who is the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. But although he made the world didn't recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, the Jews, he was not accepted. Only a few would welcome and receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was to trust him to save them. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the will of God. And now this verse, which is probably one of the greatest verses in the Bible. And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father. Wow. God's reading and precious word to us. One of the most wonderful, magical movies I have ever seen. It was a masterpiece. In fact, the movie is a little bit of heaven. To describe E.T., the extraterrestrial, the smash hit movie, are you ready for this, of 1982, 36 years ago. Wow. But it is a strange movie because not only did the critics love it, but audiences loved it also. And sometimes it's very hard to get those two things together sometimes. Now, I personally recall putting off to see the movie because the lines were too long. I am not a line person. We went to the store last night after dinner to Winn-Dixie, and there's about four people in line, and that was way too long for me. And then you see people in line where it says 10 items or less, and they've got 850 items in their bag. And sometimes I wish I was like Hulk Hogan and say, "Can't you read that sign? Get out of that line, you know. I hate lines." So I didn't want to stand in those lines. And then I saw it was playing in a little village in West Virginia. And so we drove over the border. We were in Pennsylvania then. We drove over the border into this little town to see it. And I couldn't believe the line. It was across the parking lot. It was over into the village. I mean, there aren't that many permanent residences in that town. I don't know where they came from. I talked to the manager a moment. He didn't know where they came from either, but he was happy. He was extremely happy. He loved it. But what is there about this movie? Now, if you ever saw the movie, it's a story of an ugly, beautiful, it's how you describe E.T., creature who is left behind when his spaceship touches down on planet Earth. And he is befriended. Did I do something wrong? Oh, my God. That was me when I was younger. He was befriended by a little boy named Elliot and his brother and his sister and a few others and all of the adventures they have until finally the spaceship is able to come back and rescue E.T., the one who comes from outside our planet. And I read a lot of articles and a lot of interviews with Steven Spielberg, and I haven't seen anywhere that he was intentionally admitted the gospel in this movie, but it is there all the way through, and maybe you never even realize that. E.T., first of all, who comes to our planet, is the incarnation. And that's what John was writing about in our scripture this morning. The one who comes to our planet. But this extraterrestrial has an adventure here that parallels the Gospels all the way through. He makes a few disciples who love him. And they follow him. And most of the folks are against him. They become the enemy. And in this case, it's the scientists especially who simply just want to find him, dissect him, and study him. He performs miracles. He brings a plant back to life. Do you remember that? He heals the sick through the power of his touch. Do you remember that? When he touched and stopped the bleeding. He invokes love wherever he goes. Finally, in the relentless pursuit of the enemy, it leads to his death, the crucifixion. He comes back to life, the resurrection. And when the spaceship touches down and takes him off, it's the perfect motion picture depiction of the ascension. Up he goes. And there's Elliot looking up in the air. I mean, it's the ascension, you know. And one of the last words that E.T. says is, "I will always be with you." And the most disappointing thing to me is I've shared this with so many people over the years. And our culture has become so secularized, especially among young people, that they are so unfamiliar with the scripture and the gospel, they didn't see any of it. And this has happened to me several times. This past week, when I knew I was going to be doing this sermon, and I rewatched the movie and watching it again, and I remember sharing it with some of the people up at High Point. And some of those adults said to me, "My God, I didn't see any of it." We have become so secularized, we don't recognize the gospel when it hits us right in the face. The good news of God's love, who loves us so much that he sends the extraterrestrial. And the symbolism even shows up in this popular motion picture. And what I have done is to take E.T. and the Gospel of John and let them kind of be in relationship with one another. And the most amazing thing happens when you do that. You find yourself not only being led through the Gospel and the symbolism of the Gospel, as it is presented in our New Testament, but suddenly you find yourself confronting reality at a very deep level. So I want you to come along with me for just a moment this morning. And those of you who have seen the movie, saw the movie, realize it centers around the problem with E.T.'s homesickness. Now just think for a moment. Think for a moment what it would be like to be that little creature that was on the screen there and being millions and millions and millions of miles away from home and among these huge, tall strangers, creatures, to be unable to communicate, not knowing whether they are enemy or not, seeing most of the signs that they are your enemy, and that longing to go home, you know, just to be safe at home, to be in touch with home. And it builds from that in the movie, and you begin to identify with this little guy. I think he's a guy, I don't know. Come think of it, I really don't know if it's a guy or a girl. But you begin to identify with this homesickness. And finally, remember, he starts getting together all this electronic equipment, and the children can't understand, you know, what's he doing with all this stuff? Well, he's watched enough television, and he's listened enough that he has picked up few words here and there, and he's able to begin to communicate a little bit and speaking to them, and they're trying to figure out, what's he doing with all of this equipment? And he's able to communicate to them this longing and this feeling and what is surely the breaking point in the movie when he says, E.T., phone home. And grown men break down at that point in the movie. There is something in all of us that identifies with that homesickness. And when that little guy says, E.T., phone home, we get caught up in that thing. The longing to be in touch with home. The incredible thing about Jesus as the extraterrestrial, when you allow it to kind of be in counterpoint with the movie and the Gospel of John, is you don't find Jesus longing to phone home or longing to go home. John says he came and dwelt among us. One of the biblical images is he pitched his tent among us. That's beautiful. John says he came to his own home in the words of the gospel. He loved us so much, he didn't come as a stranger, eager to get back somewhere. He identified with us in our brokenness and in our loneliness and in our homesickness. And he came to dwell among us. He loves us so much. This became his home. So that at that point, there is a striking difference in the movie, but the gospel symbols are all the way through. And as you watch this fun movie, you begin to get a new gratitude swelling up in your mind and in your heart that through your mind, this gift of Jesus Christ who came to dwell among us, who came to his home, didn't want to leave. But we need to take one more step. And that's really what I think it's all about. In spite of the fact that the movie is a lot of fun, it's the fastest 2 hours I can remember ever sitting through. I remember the first time I saw it, I had this heavy feeling because of the emptiness of the culture which it's unfolding. The typical middle-class American home. The father is off somewhere having an affair. The working mother is trying to keep the family together, you know. Of course, the roles could be easily reversed. I understand that. But that's the whole atmosphere in which this unfolds. And the TV is going on all the time. And the junk food that is there, including Reese's Pieces. I wish somebody would have given me a tip on Reese's Pieces before that movie came out. My gosh, the stock that went up on Reese's Pieces. Whew. And you begin to feel, though, the emptiness in which this thing is taking place. And you suddenly realize the beautiful paradox of the gospel all over again. That Jesus the Christ, who came to live among us, to make his home among us, and this is the paradox, came to show us, to tell us, that this is not really our home after all. His or ours. That home is not this world. It's not the next world. Home is not another world somewhere. Home for us is not a place. Home is a relationship. Think about that. He came, the gospel tells us, to make God known to us. Grace upon grace flowing through him. And what he's really trying to help us understand what life is about and his life is about and what his ministry is about is that your home and my home is in God. And as St. Augustine says, we have been created with a restlessness. And we will never rest until we find rest in God. Until we go home. This is where this strange little movie led me. To a new realization that God sent Jesus Christ to dwell among us, yes. But to show us that our home is in God. To be with God. It is to love God at home, and we can work with that for a moment. I don't know, maybe it's just my temporary enthusiasm for the movie and all the gospel that I saw in it, but I'm convinced that the main problem of most of us here this morning is we're homesick, and we refuse to acknowledge it, or we don't recognize it. And it's making us miserable. I thought of the little boy who was at summer camp and he was seated, you know, on the bunk. You could just see him. He was looking very despondent. And one of the counselors said, "What's wrong, Billy? Are you homesick?" He said, "No, I'm here sick." Well, we're here sick because we're homesick. I believe this is the cause of a recurring anxiety and depression that many of us have from time to time, and for some of us all the time. The fear, the anger, the frustration that we take out of people at work or take out on our family. There's this deep, deep hunger within us. There is a homesickness within us. And we refuse to acknowledge it because we don't understand it. We don't know what it is. We don't know where it's coming from. We try to keep the lid on it. You know, only if we can keep that thing down there inside, not let it well up. So if you drink enough alcohol, you're not going to feel it for a while. Or if you drive your car fast enough, get your attention off of it for a while. Or if you turn up the stereo loud enough, or if you keep the TV or computer on going all the time, you won't have to think about it. But if you see, if you keep the noise going all the time, then you're not going to have to come to terms with this thing that's welling up in you. The homesickness. And I had a strange thing happen to me. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, but I was at Brooksville First for about 8 months when we first got down here as a interim pastor. And I remember two people came up to me and they told me, as soon as I start to preach, they start to cry. Now, you could do a lot with that. I understand that, and I'll let you just kind of go wild on that. But they were really concerned about that because they said, when we came to church, we weren't aware of any need for tears, to cry. And I suggested to them, and I'm suggesting that to you, that if we take a few moments and center down, to be quiet. And especially in a worship setting as wonderful as this one, where God is shared, the Word of God is shared, the homesickness makes itself known. And that's where those tears are coming from. There are a lot of us who got tears just dammed up inside, and we've been holding back on them for a long time. That homesickness. And I just want to suggest this morning, as we take communion and take these few moments together in this worship experience, that we can just relax into this. I mean, some of us, it's painful in a way. You feel that longing, and you feel that loneliness, and you feel that fear, and it's all there being away from the home. But unless we're willing to be honest with this and to deal with it and let it come, God can't do anything. And so we have to drink more, or the noise level has to get higher. So just this morning, just let God love you. And that you want to be with God, and let your feelings, that hunger that you've been ignoring, that you've been running away from, just let it kind of be there for you today. The thing that Jesus helped us to understand, that homesickness then. And then what's great, when you deal with that, then the homecoming. And that's what's the great news. It's to come home. So there's no reason why that the greatest familiar, beautiful, probably memorial of all the parables is the gospel of the homecoming. Of course, the young boy coming home. That's the core of the story. Just kind of picture ourselves coming home this morning in that garden, allowing God to love you, to accept you, to welcome you, and to know that you're home. You know, the second part of that story is more and more being turned up in sermons. And I think it's because we're starting to realize that the older brother is really the symbol of church believers, of the religious folks, of those of us who've been around the house, the home, all our lives. But we've never let go yet, and we're as far removed from home as homesick as the prodigal one was, if not more so. That's why I laugh at the Sunday school teacher who said, trying to get this across to her class, Sunday school, she's talking about the story of the prodigal son. And then she said, and she talked about the elder brother, and she told the whole story. She said, okay, children, who is the unhappiest one in that story? And little Johnny said, the fatted calf. Put that before. Well, I guess he had a reason, you know, to be upset, But the elder brother was unhappy because he was homesick. And he had no idea what was wrong. So whether you are the prodigal running away off to a far country, or whether you're the elder brother who's been around the house all your life, the Father is waiting to welcome you. The love is there. And I just think this bit of strange movie kind of works on us that way, worked on me. Do you remember E.T. is trying to describe his pain and what it was like? And he points to his heart and he says, ouch. And I think a lot of us here this morning who could do that. Ouch. And to know that the source of that ouch is grace. God is loving you, calling you. It's God wanting you to come home. Not just a footnote, but perhaps the footnote is what it's really all about. This is important to us because it is only through homecoming that we experience wholeness of life ourselves. In religion, we call this salvation. We're actually talking about wholeness of our life, being who we were created to be in the sight of God. But it is only through homecoming. So just allow God to take this moment and come home to you. In closing, there's a story that that really summarizes this for me. It's a story about out of World War I. And I thought about this when I re-watched the movie E.T. And a young French soldier had been seriously injured, and he was in the hospital for a period of time. He recovered from his physical injuries, but in the explosion of the injury, he suffered amnesia. His dog tags had been lost, his ID had been lost. The authorities had this strange problem of a young man who was physically well, ready to go back home, but nobody knew where home was. They couldn't remember. He couldn't remember. They had no records. And so they published in the French newspaper a picture of him. Does anybody recognize this young man? Well, they got three responses. And so rather than calling in those families to come and see him, they decided, no, let's take the boy to the places, because maybe some familiar surroundings might jar his memory, get his memory back again. Well, they went to two places and nothing happened. But then they went to the third place, a little town. Kind of a light began to come on in the boy's face, and a new light in his eyes. And even he began to give the driver directions. You know, go here, go down here, make a left at the corner. And then he told the driver to stop. And there up on top of a little hill was a little cottage. Picket fence, you can just picture it around it. And the boy got out of the car and went bounding up the stairs into the arms of his waiting family. A beautiful symbol of how healing comes when we come home. That is what the author of the Gospels are saying to us in so many beautiful ways. Until the Lord Jesus came to say to us that no, we wander hopeless and homeless over the face of the earth until we find our wholeness and find our strength to love by coming home to God. Amen.